The Secret Life of the American Teenager is just perfect.
Secret Life of American Teenagers, and it seems like some kind of porn video.
You are listening to the Truth Speaks Network.
I totally messed up your intro, Barry. Like, hello, we're live, we're cackling, everybody. I'm Vinny Eastwood, and we're listening to the... when you're ready.
I am your host, Dylan, and I'm joined by Vince Eastwood. He's going to be the comedian for the day. And Victoria,
here all week.
Victoria, she's going to be the one laughing the whole time.
And there will be cackles, guffaws, and even snickers. And it'll be really satisfying.
And we're just going to have a general discussion, so if you want to come laugh, laugh at Vince or laugh at us trying to explain things to Victoria, you're going to have fun with this show.
Yeah. You know, welcome to my nightmare.
Welcome. Now you're not allowed to leave for the next hour and a half.
Yeah. You are locked in, strapped, duct taped, and gagged.
And you need to subscribe because, you know, it's too late now. You can't go back.
Yeah.
Oh,
ladies and gentlemen, you've already crossed the Rubicon here. You may as well subscribe, bro. I mean, come on.
Once you know me, Vince, or Victoria, you're sucked into our realm. Just ask Victoria.
Yeah. I've got to this tip for probably 5 days, and now I'm doing this.
You started the network before I even talked to you, so I don't want to hear it.
This kid has conned me into taking him to Disneyland.
I haven't conned you into anything. You offered. Okay.
Was she socially obligated and just go, I can't not take him to Disneyland. I look like a horrible person. That's exactly what happened, isn't it? She totally busted, you know.
Oh, this is going to be a fun show.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's nothing there. The other element I wanted to actually really kind of talk about today is anger and how freaking frustrating it can be to be an adult. I don't know, you guys haven't experienced this yet, but I'm 29, so I'm about to end my 20s and go into my 30s. And I found what's interesting about the end of your 20s is you start thinking about the end of your teens and the start of your 20s a lot. And usually in a regretful kind of way. Oh, my misspent youth. All these terrible things. And like, most of my listeners are like 45, 60 or something like that. And they go, ah, you young whippersnapper. You don't know anything about regret and making... You know, your life is really, really fun. If you choose to ignore most of it, I guess.
Yeah, you and Victoria are two of the youngest people I talk to.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I talk to a bunch of old people for a living.
Yeah.
Not all old people, but I don't know. I play a lot of video games, and there are a lot of old people on the internet.
Really? What are we doing? Facebook games? The real simple ones? The Candy Crush, William?
Ugh, God. That's as bad as something like Flappy Bird.
Oh, yeah.
Hey,
well,
that sucked. Like, that game sucked.
Oh, so yeah.
Crush.
Well, you know, perhaps you're not a single mother stuck at home with nothing but children to entertain you all day. It's kind of like, I don't know, that scene in The Longest Yard where Adam Sandler goes to jail and there's these, like, these she-male dudes who are like, hey, honey, what's going on? And he's like, ugh, ugh. And Chris Rock comes up to him and he goes, man, after a couple of years inside, those men over there are going to look like Beyonce to you, you know. So, if you haven't played no games before, like real games, games that actually are fun and good and stuff, Candy Crush and Farmville and everything will look real nice to you.
You know, Adam Sandler should be in jail for his terrible acting.
Well, Adam Sandler had a really good quote one time. He said, I'm average looking, I'm not a very good actor, I'm not even that funny, and I'm a multimillionaire. You see?
Here's a fact about Adam Sandler. He is the only actor to win Worst Actor and Worst Actress.
Wow. That's fantastic. That's quite a kudos.
Do any of you guys follow the creator of MySpace on Twitter?
No,
because MySpace is dead, isn't it?
Anytime someone insults MySpace, he goes back and's like, "Yeah, well, like I'm sitting in like millions of dollars right now."
Yeah.
Like he sold it, you know.
Oh, totally. I mean, it's called a one-trick pony. You come up with one good idea, one thing that helps humanity, and then eventually it falls over and leaves everybody out in the cold, but you get a warm mansion to live in.
Yeah.
Yay.
You've got it sussed, you know? Life. That doesn't sound like a parasite feeding off a higher organism, does it?
it sounds like a commensalum...
Commensalum? Is that no. like when your insulin commences?
Yeah, I'm like 13, you know, I don't know big words like that.
My science teacher will kill me if she ever listens to this, because I'm totally butchering that. I don't even know, but it goes from commensalism to parasitism.
You
help humanity once, commensalism, and then you suck them dry. Parasitism.
Okay, so basically
I guess it would go mutualism and then parasitism.
Okay, all right. So mutual means you and me together. Mutualism means like the idea of you and me together, actually helping each other out, kind of thing. Yeah, mutually.
Mutualism is like person riding a horse.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be basically the idea that like both of the people are getting benefits?
Yes, that's mutualism.
I thought that was called Obamacare.
Nice
one. Oh yeah, that's right. You don't get any benefit from Obamacare.
Yeah.
Oh, my bad. He's just misunderstood a tyrannical medical system for a minute. How dare I?
Yeah, you better be careful.
Oh, yeah, you better be careful. In fact, my brother is a chiropractor, right? And he was telling me about this new study that got released. And normally when they're taking out hospitals and everything, they say, you know, time of death or whatever. And basically, hospitals were killing about 40,000 Americans a year.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Actually killing people because of accidents and drugs and stuff. And he said, well, they just updated that, and it turns out it's like seven times that many.
Updated it. Like people are
dying every 12 seconds because of a doctor's cock-up in America.
So there are two topics I want to discuss. Both are kind of entertaining. But,
proceed.
I just lost it, too.
You know, this is what I'm talking about. Live radio, ladies and gentlemen.
Great show.
Live radio.
Yeah.
There are a lot of good things about it, and there's this.
Yeah. I suppose. Sometimes.
Gary Oldman tirade.
Oh, yeah. I just read that, funnily enough, you should mention, because... I don't read articles generally ever, bro, but I did read this one because I really like Gary Oldman.
He's awesome.
I'm a movie buff, you know. Ever since the days of Leon the Professional, way back in the day, Gary Oldman was the Shiite Muslim. And I think what's happening here is the cracks in the system are actually starting to show. It's sort of like... If you beat a dog into a corner kind of thing and you're constantly thrashing it, eventually he's going to tear your freaking trachea out, you know? And what happens in Hollywood is all these people get told what they can do and can't do, etc., all the time, and they're just trying to live their lives. And eventually some of the actors, it's not enough to just get paid millions of dollars to keep your freaking mouth shut and say the lines, you know? They actually want to use their fame for something good. And I think that's very admirable when they speak out. But often they have a career dive afterwards because the evil scum that they're speaking out against often control the industry, as he states in the article. He was talking about defending Mel Gibson and Adam Baldwin, who are just like one of the, I think when Mel Gibson was a bit drunk, he went on a tirade about the Jews controlling Hollywood. And
he goes on a tirade about a lot of things, but
he does. And Adam Baldwin was getting accosted by these people outside a hotel or something of that nature. He's real tired, hungover, or some crap, and he just says, "Get the frag away from me, you fag!" You know. And you can't say these words in America anymore. You can't say any kind of denigration against any kind of racial group or whatever. Otherwise, the racial group discriminates against you and does the rest of the country. It's basically like anybody who says what they think. It doesn't matter if you hurt somebody or damage their property anymore, as it would be under common law. It's if you say something that somebody thinks hurts them. Like, I could say, go into a car lot and go, you know, I don't want a white Mercedes, I want a black Mercedes. And the guy who's selling me the car goes, "You're racist! I'm not selling you any Mercedes." You know? I want a licorice all sort. Which one do you want? I want the black one. "You're racist!" You know, these are inanimate objects, people. And when that stuff kind of gets taken out of context, that stuff really pisses me off to no end. However, when it's actual racism, you know, when somebody's like burning a cross, or, by the way, interesting side note, do you know how they get those crosses to burn for so long?
No.
70% petrol, 30% diesel.
Interesting, eh?
Totally random fact that somebody told me once, and they're going, "I'll never find a use for that fact, bro. Why do I need to know that?" And you're like, "No, actually, you can find one use. Just for, it's of no practical use or whatever, because I'm not planning on burning any crosses."
Here's the other topic I wanted to discuss, if you're up for it. This is also a movie one. Kim Jong-un said there will be war if Hollywood releases Seth Rogen's new movie.
Really?
Yeah, Seth Rogen's new movie is about assassinating Kim Jong-un. He gets hired by the CIA. He's a reporter who goes to interview Kim Jong-un and gets hired by the CIA to assassinate Kim Jong-un.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's a comedy.
Of course. It sounds like a real riot.
It's Seth Rogen. He'll make it a riot.
Oh, yeah. Well, I just finished a Freemason symbolism video, and a couple of Seth Rogen works in there. Like, have you seen Ted?
Yeah, I love Ted.
That was a good movie.
That was hilarious.
Well, I got two screenshots here, and it's like one of them's Ted and Mark Wahlberg sitting on the couch, and behind them on the shelf there's a little pyramid on the shelf for no reason. And the other one is when he's in the baseball stadium and he's walking towards him, and there's a 33 on the back of the wall. And it's like, it's not just the only film that he's done or TV series where all these symbols of Freemasonry, pyramids, all-seeing eyes, black and white Masonic floors, double chimneys or pillars and things of that nature. And it's not just him either. It's all through Hollywood. And I did a video yesterday. It was like 15 minutes long, about 90 pictures. 90 pictures from movies from like the 60s and 70s and the 80s and the 90s all the way through to like being released last year, sort of thing. And it's saturated the whole way through it. And
so here's a quote from Kim Jong-un from North Korea about it. It stars Seth Rogen and James Franco.
Oh, yeah.
He says, "The act of making and screening such a movie portrays an attack on our top leadership is a most wanton act of terror and act of war, and is absolutely intolerable. It mirrors what the U.S. has done in Afghanistan, Iraq, Syria, and Ukraine. And I guess Rogan's..."
So let me get this straight. Kim Jong-un is a dictator who has people like hand to mouth and stuff like that. and has enslaved his entire country, more or less. But doesn't have a Rothschild control bank, incidentally. Compares the making of a comedy movie to invading the Ukraine and slaughtering people and causing World War III.
I don't think Ukraine will cause World War III. I think you got to pay attention to Iraq and Iraq, ISIS, and Syria. You got to pay attention to that. That'll cause World War III, if nothing else.
It's all part of the grand chessboard.
Oh.
Yeah. What's his name? Zbigniew Brzezinski, who's incidentally like the mentor of Barack H. O'Barry, Satoru, you know, Mr. Kenya, Mr. Hawaiian. I can only think of it. I just feel like a Hawaiian burger right now would be so good with a pineapple and a bacon.
I just had a burger, actually.
Oh, you son of a... Yeah.
That was my dinner.
Like, I'm just, like, gotten up this morning and I haven't even had anything to eat yet, so I'm, like, sitting here, like, hungus is mungus. And
that's right. It is morning for you.
Yeah. And I get kind of like a pregnant woman and get morning sickness if I don't eat early, you know.
So Seth Rogen had replied back he was inviting Kim Jong-un to the premiere.
Well, did he plan to assassinate him at the premiere? He's like, I'm going to make, hey, Kim, here's a ticket to a movie about us assassinating you. No, you know, it's no biggie if you don't want to come. We'd really love to see you there. Yeah, I mean, we totally won't, you know, pull a John Wilkes Booth on you in the cinema.
He replied, apparently Kim Jong-un plans on watching the interview. I hope he likes it.
Yeah.
I like Rogan. He's funny.
Yeah, I do. But I've also thought about this. There was a poll recently done in America who America's favorite father figure is from television and everything like that. And it's freaking Peter Griffin. Guy's fat, stupid, really? Lazy.
All the things that embody.
He's awesome, though.
No. You think about this. The brain can't actually tell the difference between what it's seeing and what's real. I mean, you think that you can. You can rationalize it away and go, oh, yeah, obviously that's not real. But your brain at the moment doesn't think that it is. And every bit of information and everything that you take in winds up getting into your brain somehow. And you can't get it out. The brain's got no firewalls. I mean, if you were to think about a topic, if I were to say the word pink elephant, the pink elephant instantly comes to mind. You actually don't have any defense, psychologically speaking, from the things that you see or the things that you hear. You take everything on. That's what the brain does. And it just kind of like, if you're not interpreting it or thinking about it right then and there, it just sort of stores it for later as madness.
But
if you're watching... Okay, think about this. How many good family units, all right, like a stable mother, father, a few kids, they're not dysfunctional, they're not crazy, they actually live a good life, really care about each other, etc., and teach the audience really great, long-lasting lessons about life during the broadcast? When's the last time you've seen something like that?
Vince, I agree that should happen. It wouldn't make money, though. It would be taken off the air after 12 episodes.
Yeah. Maybe it wouldn't even get to air.
Americans want to see people hurt each other. I mean...
All right. So now why is this? It's because Americans have kept getting shown people hurting each other to the point where they're desensitized to it. When violent movies and rock music and things like that first came to America, everybody was very conservative. They didn't like it at all. They didn't like these men dressing up like frickin' bats and women and wearing leggings and makeup and all of this kind of stuff. There was a huge movement against it. You're like, oh, conservative, you know, you're just backwards, mate. You know, this is the new thing. And now you have no examples of true conservatism of any kind. You know, it's all just basically rape, murder, violence, zombies, end of the world movies, and stupid families who don't know how to communicate with each other and totally frack stuff up all the time.
I want to be a movie writer, so I go for the story.
Okay. I was watching a Bill Hicks comedy thing last night. If you don't know Bill Hicks, seriously, find some of the stuff on YouTube and start listening to it, man. It's the best comedy in the world ever. And the guy's dead now, so it ain't getting any better. he got his own show on CBS. And how did I get this show on CBS, you ask? Well, I went in and I told them the story about we're going to hunt and kill Billy Ray Cyrus. That's the name of the film. That's the name of the TV series. And the producer says, will there be Teddy? And he goes, yes, yes, they will. Oh, my God, give him a check. The lowest common denominator. It's like, and Bill Hicks is laughing about it. He's thinking, man, I spent like my entire career writing stuff that had character, that had meaning, that had storylines, plots, and things of that nature that would actually benefit humanity by watching it. I just forgot. As soon as I said, yes, there will be titty, yeah, I'm a producer. And that's really how low it is, and it's getting worse. Have you ever heard of the term lowest common denominator?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I aim to write movies with actual story. I would only put that stuff in if it served the story.
Yeah. What if it meant that you couldn't tell the story unless you had it in there? Because the only people who would actually give you enough money to make the movie the way it was meant to be made would require titty.
I would have to figure something out.
See, it just doesn't work that way, unfortunately. Not in the current system that we have. We've got scumbags and controller stuff, right? And there's two ways you can go about it. A1, you can try and play the system, which means you have to change all of your creative works and probably get most of them stolen by the system in the effort to actually try and make them. Or the second thing is you could give a big finger to the system and just make it yourself with any means necessary, pull in people and things of that nature. There have been countless examples of people all over the world who have made films that have made it big on virtually no budget, you know. And it takes fucking... Oh, excuse me. Sorry about that, ladies and gentlemen.
I don't have any rules about censorship on this show.
Well, fuck, that's awesome. And what
I knew you were coming on. I couldn't have any rules of censorship if you were coming on.
Yeah.
I've listened to some of your broadcasts.
The censorship is the Titanic, mate. It's going down. And the internet is the big, fat iceberg.
I won't censor anybody. Say what you want.
Oh, trust me, bro. Eventually, you might start to want to censor some people. Cause,
oh, yeah, definitely.
Oh, dude, there are some people out there who just... Oof, mate, you don't even want to listen to them, not because the information's too much for me, it's just because they're friggin' mad. They're out of touch with reality.
Here's the only time I would censor somebody. If they were legitimately being racist or anything of that nature, I would probably definitely censor them.
Yeah, see, there you go. So you can't say I'd never censor somebody, because there's a reason censorship exists, in my opinion, and that's because if you're a radio show host or any person with platform of some kind to share information, it's best that you don't help people get plugged up in their brain with BS and lies and hate.
Okay, well...
You can't take someone seriously if they're saying the F word after every word.
I don't know. Bill Hicks said the F word after every word, and I took him extremely seriously.
Pete Santilli does it.
Yeah. Oh, well. I don't take him seriously because I know who he is. And in which case, I actually do take him extra seriously, way more seriously than everybody else. Except I seriously know that he's lying about everything. The guy wouldn't even tell the truth if it was good for him. It was terrible.
Some people call him Pete Sanchilli.
Well, there's a number of names. I call him Peter Sith Tilly, like Revenge of the Sith.
Yeah.
And believe me, bro, he's grown an empire. You know, he's taken my name, Guerrilla Media. I'm probably going to have to dissolve my websites, guerrillamedia.co.nz and realguerrillamedia.com, because he's just basically stolen the name now off me. I can't really see any way of getting it off him. I mean, we had this lady who was like, I don't know, former high up official in Nevada State or something like that, in the legal sense of the word, like a high court justice or some grant, volunteer to like take Santilli to court for us, and you know, when we got the reply email back from him, it was just full of all this abuse and threats and lies, defamation of character. I'm going to start up fake websites about you and start spreading BS about you if you bother going through with it, you know, just like an evil, evil man. The kind of man who has literally, and we've got recordings of this, threatened to punch the teeth out of a wheelchair-bound veteran on live air.
I once had respect for Pete Santilli until you mentioned that.
Mm-hmm.
I once had some respect for him because he's just like Jones Corp. I have, whether he's paid or not, he wakes people up. He puts truth out.
No. He really doesn't, bro. Okay.
Yeah, but he wakes people up.
If you say so. I mean, if you get woken up by somebody who's telling you lies, are you really woken up? Or are you just think you're woken up because you now believe one set of lies instead of another?
That's a fair point to make.
So now, here's the thing. It's all in how you look at it. What I don't like about some researchers is that they're very, very sure of themselves. You know, it's absolutely this way or it's absolutely the other way. And in some cases, it's kind of neither, bro. It's got two sides of contradicting information, and to be able to say definitively one way or the other, sometimes very simple, but other times it's just kind of not. And it's all in how you look at it. If you take, let's say, my inspiration for joining the truth movement, per se, and this the last time I actually chose to join anything, was Alex Jones. Listening every day, getting angry, I was yelling at my family, I lost a lot of my friends, I couldn't do my job anymore, and stuff like that, because I just had my head full of all this, the new world order scum, you know? And it took me a couple of years to wean myself off that, but it was only because I was making my own content and I realized that I don't need to listen to yelling and screaming and that kind of thing and buy my products. I can actually make something that's fun to listen to and is categorically more informative because I'm not constantly repeating stuff during the same broadcast, constantly interrupting the guests who are wanting to speak and be given a platform, you know? And that's sort of like the fundamental difference that I've struck up. You know, you can't argue with the results Alex Jones has produced. After all, he did wake me up. But unfortunately, I had to have another awakening on top of that awakening that he gave me to realize that I was still asleep. And I really needed to wake up. All right, like a dream within a dream, sort of like the movie Inception.
I love that movie.
That's a great movie.
And I still do not believe that I'm fully woken up out of the total dream yet. I've still got delusions. I've still got information that I haven't processed yet. Right, that humbleness. Okay, that's why I'm not so sure of myself, because that's what being humble is about, having humility. These guys, like Pete Santilli, don't have any humility. They don't even have any humanity. Right? The kind of guy that would do that, and the amount of things that he said about women wanting to shoot Suzanne Posel from Occupy Corporatism in the vagina, you know? You got to think about sick, sick, disgusting filth like Pete Santilli, as the cockroach and the parasite and the virus on humanity that he is. And he's a virus and a parasite that works through the airwaves and works on your mind and your heart and tries to tug it this way and that to turn you into one of his little knuckle-dragging, mouth-breathing, moronic minions, followers. He needs them. He needs to feed off their energy. He can't survive otherwise.
I was once on a network that had sprouted from Santilli. I guested on there a few times. I was going to start a show on there. But for some reason, they just dropped me out of nowhere. I got blocked by all four of the network heads. I got removed on Skype by all four of the network heads, and I was basically cut off.
Mm. Do you want me to read you the... What did I have? I had the Guerrilla Media Principles. Pete Santilli actually was there while we wrote up these principles, right? These are sort of like rules that the organization's supposed to follow. And there's a great recording that I had of the entire phone call where I explained to him the entirety of the Guerrilla Media Principles, how to actually run the Guerrilla Media Network and everything like that. And right after it, he just goes and steals it. You know? That's who this guy is. He takes what he wants from you and then just leaves you out in the cold. All of a sudden, boom, got it. It's quite unbelievable to me.
Some people do some despicable things to get fame, but you knew that already.
Oh, yeah, I've had to do many despicable things. And, just joking. I'll actually like to find out if I have done any despicable things, you know, like despicable me. Yeah. In fact, I should change the theme song of my show to Despicable Me. There's another thing. Bad guys don't actually admit that when they've done bad things, right? But good guys will always admit when they've done bad things. There's an old saying, you can't trust a thief. Oh, sorry. You can't trust a liar, but you can trust a thief. And I think I'm the thief and Pete Santilli's the liar. And I have stolen stuff off people, man. You know, I'm not going to lie. I gave it back, of course, and I realized what the hell I had done. But at the end of the day, he's freaking evil. I've got so much. All right, here's the problem. I can go into this for 10, 20, 30 hours, right? Just laying out the case, you know, like an investigator. Who this guy is, what he's done, etc. Right. There's lots of videos that we have made specifically for the purposes of preventing people from being suckered by him. Anybody who has the presence of mind to search Pete Santilli on YouTube or on Google or something of that nature will find Pete Santilli exposed as FBI informant. That's probably the best video you should go to. It's got about 10, 11,000 hits or so at this point. And we show the document that an anonymous hacker got off of Pete Santilli's hard drive, took screenshots and downloaded the originals and PDFs and everything of a fax that he sent to the Sacramento field office of the FBI, a field office that was set up. And in it, he revealed that he was recruited by the head of the the FBI's Cyber Intelligence Task Force, who used to work against organized crime in the surveillance back in Chicago. And they moved into the Sacramento field office and whatnot. However, she wasn't his handler. He was talking just in general. And he was part of what they called Operation Outtruck, or at least this is what they say in the facts. At the time, he was the media liaison for the Truckers' Ride for the Constitution.
I remember that. That's how I actually found Santilli.
Okay. Now, the Truckers' Ride for the Constitution Facebook page started up by Azita Andrews, and then after the Truckers' Ride for the Constitution totally tanked and nothing happened or anything because allegedly Pete Santilli stole a whole lot of donation money that was meant to go to the truckers to pay for their gas so that they could actually get out to DC to shut it down, sort of thing. And Zeta Andrews was like standing at a gas pump for hours and hours and hours filling up all these trucks with gas. And we haven't found the proof or anything of that nature to link Pete Santilli definitively to that because we don't employ hackers or anything of that nature. We can't get that information. He does employ a hacker. He confessed it to him himself. Suzanne Posel called him at his when he was working at his pipe shop, and he's like, oh my God, you know, like totally busted.
You know, Zeta Andrews actually was the host that dropped me.
Okay.
And I don't know why. I still don't know to this day.
All right. Well, anyway, Zeta and Pete basically fell out because Pete derailed the Truckers' Ride for the Constitution movement. At the time, the Facebook page had 200,000 likes. And then I looked about a week after or so that we released this FBI fax, and he'd changed the name of the Truckers' Ride for the Constitution page, which had 200,000 likes, to the Guerrilla Media Network Facebook page with 200,000 likes. to make him look like he's famous as hell, to give him more fake accounts. We've got a recording of him that was taken behind the scenes admitting that he has over 600 fake Twitter accounts and professes to be the world's most prolific Twitter spammer. And they're saying, admitting that you literally have to, quote, skull fuck the listener in order to trick them into listening to you. He's a cynical, manipulative, deceptive, horrific person of the lowest kind. A snake doesn't even crawl as low as he will go. This is why I started up the Facebook pages, warn people about Pete Santilli, Pete Santilli Watch, because I want people... I can't actually go into battle against this guy because he'll freaking destroy me. He'll do things that I won't do, okay? I won't lie about him or spread disinformation or things of that nature. I won't troll him or abuse him or threaten his family or send him anthrax in the mail or anything like that. It's not above him, though. He accused me of being a pedophile, all right? Open in frickin' Facebook and everything, and then just said, oh, yeah, well, try and disprove that, you little boy diddler. You know? The guy is frickin' scary. And I went through a major bout of depression trying to expose this guy, man. It's not worth it to try and expose psychopaths. They will mess your life up because they don't play by the same rules as we do. There's nothing they won't do in order to get their way. Things like conscience, things like, I don't know, having a shred of humanity, more or less, doesn't exist for these people. And he's only one of many kinds. And once you know psychopath mentalities, psychopath behaviors, etc., and how they treat people, then you start to see these patterns everywhere you look. A lot of talk radio show hosts, filmmakers, and people in positions of power, influence, and authority, more or less. That's what they're attracted to. And in this FBI fax that Pete Santilli sent, he was really upset that the FBI had lied to him and said that he would be protected from any possible... you know, backlash, people trying to expose him over his part in Operation Outtruck. And he was promised, like he said that he was promised in the facts, of course, that he would become a lot more famous as a result. And he didn't. And he was blaming them. And he was complaining about being exposed and saying, where's my protection? And then he threatens them. I just love this part, you know. He threatens the Cybersecurity Task Force of the Federal Bureau of Investigation in the Department of Justice. He threatens to expose them and tell his side of the story if he ever gets exposed. That they approached him, threatened him, and that he had to do it. Now, he can't just expose himself as an agent and just go, yep, I'm an agent, they threatened me, and all of that kind of stuff. And expect no backlash. I mean, and the backlash is something he might not even get from his audience. He might even get it just from the feds themselves. If an asset is compromised, they deny all knowledge and everything like that. And if necessary, you know, take the guy out. And at the end of the day, if you're dealing with a psychopath, like a real genuine psychopath like Pete Santilli, there really is only one solution that will work, and that's to kill him. However, I'm not a murderer. Don't encourage people to kill. And I can't do that. You see? This is the conundrum. If he could kill me and get away with it, he would. If I could kill him and get away with it, I couldn't. That's the real sad fact about it. So the best thing I can do is block, 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 bounce, 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 all these emails and all this crap that's coming at me. You know what I'm saying? Just basically, it's sort of like being exposed to toxins. You need to stop exposing yourself to them all the time. I've blocked all his Facebook accounts, so he can't message me. I've blocked his Skype, blocked his email, blocked his YouTube, blocked his Twitter, and my life became a hell of a lot better all of a sudden, because I don't get to hear about him anymore. I don't watch his show. It's all I can do, really.
About people like him. Like, you know, if you're giving him the attention, that's what he wants, kind of thing, you know?
So you know, if people are out there and they're like saying, oh, but I still want to watch him for the information, bro, you're giving hits, credibility, and your ears to a known manipulative thieving psychopath. This is who your idol is? This is somebody who you look up to and listen to because he's giving you the truth? Are you freaking retarded? Look at the evidence. Go to my YouTube channel, youtube.com/Vincent Eastwood. Then there's a little search bar within there. Just search Santilli. There are dozens of videos, recordings with people he's messed around. I tried to be kind of like his victim's counselor for quite a while, basically. The guy tear off after he destroyed me and Suzanne Posel, and he started destroying other people's lives. And I would call them up and interview them and try to help them through this really tough time in their life. And honestly, it left me drained. I couldn't do it anymore. So that's why all those videos are up there. So if people do want to know more about this guy, who he really is, and I know it sounds like COINTELPRO disinformation, etc. I get that. And I know it sounds like infighting, etc. I get that. It doesn't mean that it's not true. Everything that I'm telling you about Pete Santilli is documented and backed up. Everything that he's ever said about me and Suzanne Posel is just that. Words. He has never produced a single document, a screenshot, a video, an audio recording, nothing of any kind to implicate me or Suzanne Posel or anybody else, really, that he's had a beef with, has done anything wrong. And every single time, it's him doing the wrongs. And he's doing them thousands of times per person that he screws over. There's like a long litany. It's unbelievable that people still listen to him, even after hearing testimony from myself, Zeta Andrews, and other people that are involved in the Truckers' Ride for the Constitution. And now, what's he doing? Well, he's getting mainstream coverage. Well, mainstream alternative media coverage anyway. He goes on the Adam Kokesh show, goes on Gary Franchi's network, which has television rebroadcasters all across the US and everything. And what does Pete Santilli do, working for the FBI? He asks for people with guns. He asks for militia to turn up at the Bundy Ranch, where there's a big standoff going on, and introducing weapons into the situation. Uh-huh. Does that sound like an FBI provocateur to you? I think it does.
There are two ways you can look at it, Vince. I can see your point. He could just be a radical.
How could he possibly just be a radical? Radicals are at least honest and diligent and zealots about what they do. Everything this guy does is a lie. Everything. Everything he's ever told anybody about himself in his past turned out not to be true. He told people he worked for the Coca-Cola Corporation and helped them with their big legal case that they won against Coca-Cola for not paying their truck drivers overtime. Was Pete Santilli a truck driver? No, he wasn't. Was Pete Santilli actually part of the legal team that won that thing for the truck driver? No, he wasn't. What was Pete Santilli? Well, he was a lower-level manager in a bottling plant who saw a huge amount of media potential, especially in this case, walked into one of their meetings, etc., and bullied them into putting his name on the ballot. Okay? As one of the complainants. Literally. Just threatened his way in there. And then he holds a bottle of Coke in his hand and does a little thingy on YouTube and says, I did all this. Oh my God, the brazen ability, right? And then he tells people, oh, I'm a former Marine. Hey, turns out technically he was a former Marine. But what he told people he did in the Marines, see again, you keep the lies simple, is that he helped with high classification military weapons transports across the United States, like, you know, moving giant missiles and stuff from point A to point B and protecting them from sabotage or whatever. It turns out he was what they commonly call in the Corps as a gas station attendant. He was literally just on the base day after day filling up vehicles as they come in. That was his job. He obtained the rank of Lance Corporal, which is the lowest rank that you can get after private. And it took him 5 years to obtain that rank. I spoke to Jim Fetzer, who's a colonel in the Marines, I believe. And he laughed when he heard that. He's like, 5 years, he only made Lance Corporal? He must have been an idiot. A complete and utter idiot. So, yeah. Basically, without knowing any information, I just want to kind of wrap this up. You can be assured everything Pete Santilli says is a lie. Everything he says about other people is a lie. Everything he says about himself is a lie. And everything he tells you, his listeners, is a lie. If you want to keep consuming lies from a liar and a psychopath that we have evidence to prove that he is, and you don't look at that evidence and you keep listening to him anyway, shame on you. You're allowing many people to be hurt as a result. You're allowing his trolls to continue harassing people and making up defamation claims about them. All right? You have as much responsibility. You don't have any responsibility unless you know this in the first place, on the other hand. So I'm not saying, oh, if you're listening to Pete Santilli, you're evil. I'm saying if you know who Pete Santilli really is. You've heard me and Suzanne Posel and other people around the truth movement talk about who he really is, and you've refused to look at the evidence, and you still keep listening to him anyway. That's when you know that you're totally supporting evil, bro. Don't do it, you know? Just learn the facts for yourself. Go to the Vinny Eastwood Show YouTube channel, youtube.com/Vincent Eastwood, and just search Santilli on my channel there, and you have all the information you need.
Vince, we have something breaking right now. There was another oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico.
What, a big one, or
major aerosol dumps.
Major aerosol dumps?
Let me check. It's on NASA's website. Let me look real quick.
Okay.
I don't want to see a map. Oh, no, let me try this one. You're going to take me back to the map, aren't you?
Yeah. Okay. But yeah, so that's some breaking news. Hey, incidentally, you know what actually got me out of bed and made me quit my job? The last Gulf of Mexico oil spill.
Oh.
Yeah. I was looking after autistic boys, and I was just like, not really getting anywhere. Their parents won't let me help their kids properly. They don't even want to go see my friend, the herbalist, who has biomedical therapies, which can work in some cases. You know, just I can't do that.
And I want to see that guy.
Yeah.
Need help.
Oh, it was just a nasty thing. Working, you know. You'll find out. It sucks. Well, you may never find out, you know. Maybe the economy will crash so bad that nobody will actually have to have a job. Because there won't be any. So,
there were another story broke yesterday. I'm pretty sure this is old news, or we all expected it at this point. Mm-hmm. But President Obama, the reports are that the puppeteers that control President Obama want to strike Syria because of ISIS.
Okay. And?
I forgot. You don't know much about ISIS.
Well, you know, I spent some time in a cold climate. I've seen many types of ISIS, but...
No, ISIS. I-S-I-S.
I know what you mean.
It was a joke. I gotcha.
I think the Canadians are very familiar with ISIS.
Yeah, we have two comedians in here. You're good. She's not.
Okay, if you say so. I'm only good because my bad jokes are... My jokes are so bad that they're good.
And then her jokes are so bad that they make me cringe.
Yeah.
They're pretty bad.
I almost forgot you were here, Victoria. You've been so quiet.
Yeah. Well, I think breaking news and actually keeping up to date with stuff and this whole now, I need the information. I don't care about that vibe anymore. You know, I'm over it, bro. I've seen a hell of a lot, heard a hell of a lot, and it turns out that 90% of the time when I'm watching stuff that's breaking news, about 3 weeks later, that's when I actually get the real story. So, it's interesting because it means you've been following intensely something for 3 weeks that you don't really have a whole lot of verifiable information on. It's a lot of it's speculation, and you don't really know. So you're stressing yourself up for a number of weeks for no reason, a lot of the case. And I've decided just not to do that. And unless it's like an emergency situation, like an emergency that affects me, like if I'm in the Gulf right now near that oil spill, I'd want to hear about the breaking news. Oh, yeah. But if it's halfway across the world or halfway across the country and I won't actually experience any effects probably ever in my entire lifetime, I don't actually need to know right now. You know, I'll hear about it later and it's just like, oh, yeah. That sucked. You know, and it doesn't need to spend your life being stressed about it, I guess. Because stress causes illness. Almost as much illness as the Gulf of Mexico oil spill. Probably more.
Possibly.
About 90% of all illness, allegedly, caused by stress. It's unfortunate. Mm. Hey, I don't know if you've seen this thing, Jesse Ventura? On the chemtrail video, just denying chemtrails and stuff, based upon the shit.
I like Ventura.
Yeah, well, he's just in a video, like, denying that chemtrails exist, based solely on, I can't understand the logic, and why would they do that? You know, why would they do that? They're breathing the same air. Now, I don't know if you've noticed, but there's things about people in power called frickin' insanity, for one. Oh, I've got billions of dollars and unlimited power. I think I'll just go nuts. But you can't, really. Who's going to frickin' stop me? You know? So hey, if you're using logic to explain away somebody who's crazy, then you're the one who's frickin' stupid. All right? Secondly, he hasn't heard of Lindsay Williams and the South Pacific Clinic, I think, in Mexico. This is where all the elite go. Cure themselves of cancer. Anything, basically. This is where all the elite have been going. Lindsay Williams had like a so-called incurable, you know, debilitating disease or whatever. He's now healthy as a frickin' horse. You know? Just sussed. And that's where they all go. So any health issues, etc. that you might get from chemtrails don't actually affect the elite because they get to heal themselves. The rest of us don't. So that logical step doesn't kind of work if you've actually got facts.
Oh,
a lot of people have lost respect for Jesse Ventura after this little video. And I don't know, I encourage people to just go, look at the guy's work in context. He's done a hell of a lot for the truth movement. He's written great books, did very good job as the governor of a state. And I mean, I got really nothing too bad to say about the guy. You know, bravo.
Everyone's wrong about something. I mean,
who would be right about everything all the time? And what a boring bastard that person would be, frankly. Really.
I gotta agree with you.
Hey, bro, do you want to have a conversation with a guy who knows absolutely everything? Not really. You know, actually, I probably would at the end of the day because I'd probably want answers to questions and knowledge and things of that nature. But at the end of the day, if somebody's right in front of you and they say, I know the answers to everything, the first reaction is, bro, you're freaking crazy. You're deluded.
Oh, I have as Victoria knows, I have tons of respect for Ventura.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I'd pull for him in 2016.
Yeah, well, he might actually have a chance at winning, but
he's
I don't
not
know.
A Ron Paul, you know, but they blocked him out.
No, Ron Paul had no chance of winning. In fact, come to think of it, it doesn't matter if they win or they don't. This is actually the point I was trying to make. Didn't mean that they had absolutely no chance of winning. Sure, they had a chance of winning. However, they don't control the votes like their opposition does. So. They don't knock people off the rolls that are unlikely to vote for them and everything like that. They're trying to play a dishonest game, honestly. And it's a rigged game, and the only way to win a rigged game is to frickin' cheat, right? Especially in the American system. I mean, it worked for Bush. It worked for everybody else, didn't it? You name me one honest president. Yeah. Well, apparently the last one who tried to say honest stuff was shot from behind. Except he fell backwards, which was really strange. And I thought it was also quite interesting to note during this election that the Council for National Policy, the CNP, has a lot of the top media people, political affiliates, and everybody around basically the big business roundtable and media and influence and publishers, talk radio show hosts, all of the whole bum. And they're all in this big group called the Council, the CNP, the Council for National Policy. Basically, it's a giant Republican think tank. And when you go through the names and you go through the list, you find out something very, very frightening, that huge quantities of people with power and influence who you've followed and thought you could trust belong to a secret organization that plans the entire Republican media spin game years in advance. And Rand Paul is on the CNP.
Rand Paul's no Ron Paul.
He's no Ron Paul, but guess who totally derailed Ron Paul and expressed support for the Republicans?
Rand.
Uh-huh. That's why Ron Paul couldn't win. Because he wasn't on the CNP like his little boy was. It's not part of the game. Because it's rigged. How do you cheat against that? I don't think you can. I've very, very, very little hope for the elections in America or anywhere else. Free elections. It's a kind of an irony, isn't it? Because at the end of the day, the only people who actually have free elections are people who are free. Now, I'd argue that nobody in the United States, really, at the moment, is completely and utterly free. We're all slaves to one master or another. And unfortunately, that kind of translates to the political realm as well.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean have no hope. It just means that the once every 4 years that you get to vote means nothing. The 1,000-plus days in between mean everything. You only get to vote for your political representative but once a term. You get to vote with your wallet. You get to vote with your actions. You get to vote with your conscience every day. And most people believe that that is actually the weak thing to do. To do something every day that makes the world a better place. And that sitting back on your ass while the world goes to hell in a handbasket can suddenly change everything if you just put your name down on a dying core vote machine. It's freaking insane.
Well, the voting machines are a bad idea in the first place. I mean,
they can be programmed with viruses that'll flip the vote 51-49 to whoever you want, and nobody be able to tell who had it or what that happened.
Well, and how do you have voting machines that are run by President Obama or the opposing candidate Mitt Romney?
I don't know.
The voting machines are owned by the Republicans and Democrats, so they can essentially pick who wins the election.
Of course they can. Like I said, members of the CNP. You obviously haven't seen the video that I did with Suzanne Posel about this a little while ago. I'm going to send you the link, bro. You're going to shoot me dead. You're going to love to watch this. It'll totally blow your freaking mind, yo. I swear. But it's only got like 600 hits or whatever, because what happens is, and this is true in all movements, if you insult the movement that you're part of, the truth movement kind of thing, and you claim that it's infiltrated, the movement will hate you because you're being objective, right? You're seeing things from all sides and you're not spreading BS. BS is really comforting. Why do you think people believe in it all the time?
Why do you think people still believe in the media?
Because
BS is popular.
I saw a great picture on Facebook, and there was these two guys with these stalls and banners, right? And one guy had a huge amount of people lining up, and the other guy had nothing. And the guy who had nobody lining up to his stall said, "Unfortunate truth." and the other guy's stall that had huge amounts of people lining up to buy from him had a banner that said Comforting Lies. And that's ultimately what it comes down to, is if we're capable of believing that somebody else is going to save our ass, the comforting lie, we won't ever get saved or take responsibility for our own actions or do what we think is right, regardless of what we're ordered to do. What was it? It was obedience is doing what you're told to do, regardless of what is right. Morality is doing what is right, regardless of what you're told to do.
Yeah. Yeah. I know what you're saying.
I don't want to speak with any authority and things of that nature, because ultimately I don't really believe that authority exists in a lot of ways. But you know, if somebody's got information and you haven't looked at it yet, can't disregard it. It's offhand a lot of the time. Otherwise, you wind up becoming like the general public out there, just total mass ignorance.
Yeah, I think there are a lot of things we could do to fix the system, but it all starts with kicking out these bankers and these elites in the New World Order. That's where it starts.
Oh, yeah, but any of the candidates who are talking about kicking out the bankers and the elite in the New World Order and everything won't get elected, because guess who controls the elections that might elect them? The bankers in the New World Order. So, I mean, seriously, it's kind of like Edward Snowden releasing information saying that, hey, everybody, it turns out if you use programs and things of that nature to hide your identity online, you instantly get put on an NSA list, all right, for surveillance.
And then I'm on two lists. Awesome.
Yeah, and then he says, on top of that, like in a much later interview, like a bit apart, that people should be really focusing on trying to protect themselves and their privacy online by using all of these programs. So basically he's saying, to protect yourself from the NSA, paint a giant target on your back. See? That's how this whole voting thing works as well. They're trying to, in my opinion, coax in all of the people who still have belief in the system of any kind, right? People who believe that they can change, people who believe in the Constitution, who believe in the Congress and its ability, even when it's got a 2% approval rating. They still believe in Congress.
It's down 5%. It's amazing.
Okay, something like that. It's the lowest approval rating of all time. The lowest of president approval rating of all time. Do you see anybody getting impeached? Do you see the system changing because of everybody's disapproval of the system? Do you see any of these scumbags being voted out? Do you see the bankers changing their tune despite all of this disapproval? No. Why not? It's because they don't give a frack whether or not you disapprove, bro. They really don't care. What they will care about is if they can't walk down the street in their anonymous suit and tie, looking like everybody else, without a goddamn truth of scumbag shoving a camera in your face. Hoi, banker scumbag, frack off, get out of my country. Get out of my country. Stop enslaving my people, you frickin' filth. You disgusting eugenicist swine. If every single time David Rockefeller walked from his glitzy apartment, or rather gets wheelchaired in, from his glitzy apartment lobby to his waiting limousine, if every single time there was somebody haranguing him, harassing him, somebody with the balls to do it, and it would only take one person, this war will be over a hell of a lot quicker, because we're making people personally accountable outside of the political spectrum as well as inside it. Because I've come to the conclusion that the political spectrum is more or less irrelevant entirely for everybody. There is no reason to believe it'll work for anybody ever again. It is broken and needs to be set the reset button. So in that case, I'm not going to even bother trying to fix it. I'm not even going to bother really trying to participate in it. I'm just going to basically sit on the sidelines and throw little Molotov cocktails into the political area and hope somebody catches fire and realizes that, oh my God, somebody's lit a fire under my ass and I need to actually do something. I need to quit my job. I need to quit being a politician. And I actually need to do something by myself to help humanity.
Vince was talking about a topic. I have terrible memory, so can someone refresh it for me?
I was talking about the Republicans and how they're trying to manipulate people into getting into the political system that doesn't actually give them any power at all, and they should just take their own power back and just go start doing stuff by themselves to expose scumbaggery, etc.
I gotta agree with you, honestly. The Republican Party and the Democratic Party. The only difference between the two parties is how quick their knees hit the floor to bow to their leader.
You know, I think that's about right.
They pretend to have differences on the stage, but behind closed doors, they're going to parties with each other. They're buddies outside this.
Yeah. It's like, ironically, what Jesse Ventura said is that politics is like pro wrestling. You know, when you're on the stage, you're like, I'm going to beat the crap out of you. You're an enemy of mine. And behind the scenes, it's like, hey, buddy, do you want another cigar? Yeah. Do you want another 12-year-old whiskey? Yeah. Do you want another 7-year-old boy? Yeah, all right. You twisted my arm.
I wouldn't have gone with that, but...
It's Congress, baby. Anything goes.
Oh, I thought we were still talking about pro wrestling.
Maybe a little bit of column A and a little bit of column B. didn't Chris Benoit kill his children and his wife and himself? And incidentally, he was on Prozac.
I don't watch wrestling.
Because he was too angry.
Sounds like you sometimes.
Yeah. I don't know. I probably wouldn't ever go to the point of killing somebody.
No, but you do get very angry very easily.
Yeah. I get excited, actually. I don't know. Maybe it's from when I was a small boy and the parents and stuff probably didn't pay enough attention to me, so I need lots of it.
Well, then you're set for radio.
Yeah.
Or any form of entertainment.
Yeah, that's what I figured, you know. So, born entertainer, douchebag, wants everybody's attention. Oh, I can become a radio show host. How could that turn out possibly bad for me, you know? I was right, you know. I believe in self-denigration, you know, that it's actually quite a useful tool. Keeps you stable, level, you know. So you don't get too far... too full of yourself. I hate people like that. I really do. In fact, there's so many types of people that I hate recently. It's almost like I've got some kind of coronal mass ejection of rage. You know, disabling cellular devices and stuff. Because I'm so effed off with it. Actually, it kind of works the other way around. The cellular device stops working, and then I get really effed off with it.
Oh, I know that feeling.
Yeah.
I know that feeling all too well.
Well, I think it's a nerd thing. Like, I love the old gadgets and stuff like that. I love them. And really, really, honestly, will hate and kill and destroy them if they don't work properly.
I know somebody here who hates nerd stuff. Victoria. I'm ragging on her all day. It's fun.
Apparently it is.
Hey, you have fun with it too. You rag on me all the time.
Oh, yeah.
As a general rag on muffin.
She says she hates Lord of the Rings.
Ah, well. Each to their own.
I guess, but I mean, how do you not like Lord of the Rings?
I don't know.
How do you not like Taylor Swift?
I can name a couple reasons.
Oh, go for it.
First of all, they're not that swift. So the name itself is deceptive and misleading. And I don't like people are misleading and deceptive, you know. Second of all, she's associated with Ellen DeGeneres, which sounds like degenerate. And I don't like people who sound like degenerates. See, I'm Swift, but I'm not Taylor Swift.
Third of all, I don't like hip hop music. So,
God damn it, she's not hip hop.
Really? I'm pretty sure she is.
She's pop and country.
I don't like either of those, so.
Well, maybe she's just the first syllable in country. Did I say that out loud? I'm sorry.
Yes.
I'm going to remember to mute my microphone when I'm having my little internal monologue, you know?
Yeah.
Go ahead. I did a show once on my amateur network before I actually started, where I talked to myself for 20 minutes.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
I do that in the car. I don't have a radio. It broke, so I have to either talk to myself or whistle or something.
You know? I do that on the bus when I'm here and not talking to either James or Victoria.
Yeah. There's the little internal monologue thing going on there, isn't there? Oh, what goes around comes around. What a tangled web we weave. I don't actually believe that what goes around comes around. Do you? Because I believe in scumbaggery. Yeah. That scumbaggery has many, many benefits. You know, wealth, power, women, the best drugs, travel, great cars, boats, etc. All the trappings that people think might make them happy. You know, that's what scumbaggery gets you, because you don't actually have to earn it. You just have to lie, cheat, and steal off of people who do. Dumbasses.
I love it. Vince, we are bringing you back on. You are too funny.
Oh, yeah? I'm too funny to not bring back on, all right?
Yeah, you're too funny to not bring back. I mean, yeah, you're a lot of fun.
We both cannot tell jokes for, like, the life of us, so.
I could if you gave me about an hour.
No, you can't.
You give me an hour to think of one. And
I like really silly jokes, you know, things where the punchline's, like, really obvious or stupid or doesn't make sense anyway, and it's just funny because of that. Like, what's big, yellow, and can't swim? A bulldozer.
That was terrible, but I'm still getting a good chuckle out of it.
You see? Another one. What's black and white, and if it falls out of a tree, it'll kill you.
That's racist.
Wait, say it again.
What's black and white, and if it falls out of a tree on you, it'll kill you.
A bowling ball. No, that's not white.
A fridge wearing a leather jacket.
What?
What?
It's like, what has eight legs and if it falls out of a tree on you, it'll kill you? A billiard table. A pool table. Maybe you don't understand billiard. All right. What was it? Koala. Why'd the first koala fall out of the tree? Because it was dead. Why did the second koala fall out of the tree?
Because it died?
No, because it was tied to the first one. Why'd the third koala fall out of the tree?
Because it was tied to the second one.
No, he thought it was a game. Why did the child fall off of her bike? Because she was hit by three flying koalas. You know, I love that stuff. And I got like 9/11 jokes as well. You know, they're pretty funny. You know, people burning to death and whatnot. Anyway, what was the 9/11 joke? Oh, yeah, here's how you know 9/11 was an inside job. You know, there's a simple home test you can do. All right. When it's summer, you know, you have barbecues and stuff, right? Okay, so go outside, turn your barbecue on for about an hour. Okay, and then ask yourself two simple questions. Did the grill melt? No. Did the barbecue explode into particleized dust? No. Ergo 9/11 was an inside job. I think that's about the most simple explanation you can give. I could be wrong.
Oh, if you want to get technical about it, you can use Newton's third law of motion or any of the laws of gravity.
All of which have been proven to be hokum. Because you know what's interesting about gravity and why you can't have laws for it? Because the pull of gravity changes. All the time. Every time they try to measure it, it's slightly different. And what they realize is matter is conscious. It actually reacts. If you're thinking about it or whatever, and you really study it, you'll see reactions just to your thoughts in matter around you. In a microscopic, like way beyond microscopic, like at an atomic level. Isn't that nice? I thought so.
Well, let's use those laws of physics that they have to disprove their own stories. I believe in the laws of physics because...
Now, do you have to believe in a law? Or is it just a law and it's provable, so therefore it eliminates belief because it becomes part of knowledge? You know the law exists. And you can measure it and 1,000 different times and it never changes and it still works.
Option number two.
Yeah. See, that's what's problematic, because science is not actually a science anymore. It used to be. Incidentally, the founders of science were all very deeply religious men who thought that science was a way of measuring the physical world, not destroying the spiritual one. But unfortunately, I'm not saying that that's what you're doing. I'm just saying that this is what happens on the general political spectrum now. But they've politicized science to suit their own ends, to push climate change, etc.
I haven't taken physics. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I don't plan on taking physics either. So, I don't like math.
Yeah, math sucks.
Yep.
My wife just had to do all of our accounting and everything. That was so terrible. Hundreds and hundreds of pages of frickin' BS.
Hey, Vince.
Yeah?
I apologize. We have run out of time.
Oh, well, that's unfortunate. But luckily...
Yeah, I have a show in 10 minutes with a friend.
And you'll probably need some time to prep for that, eh, bro?
I'll just need some time to breathe. I've literally been on air since 3:30.
Oh, 33. There we go.
Plus, right. If we're late, he's going to kill us.
Sure. Yeah, he will.
Oh, and by the way, ladies and gentlemen, if you're listening now to the live stream, please subscribe to the channel. Just below the little video thing there on, what was it? Is it the bottom left or something? Let me crack this open up here. Because we want to get Dylan over the 100 subscribers mark. He's currently at my favorite sexual position, 69. And again, the internal monologue thing. I've got to silence that somehow.
So yeah.
It just kind of slipped in there just quietly.
No, that was
and,
good.
To the bottom left underneath the video, it says subscribe. It's got a little red thing, subscribe to 69. It's fantastic. Come on.
Make it 70 so we can stop joking.
In fact, I just did make it 70. I just did make it 70 because conveniently I have two YouTube channels. So I subscribe to you with my second one right now.
Vince, you're funny. That was probably the best joke you've told all day.
Okay. Yeah, that was the best.
All right. Good. And of course it had to be the dirty one.
Yep.
Hey, to be fair, your other jokes weren't very good.
Each to their own. Horses for courses. You can't
Even
account
you
for
said
taste.
They weren't that good.
But you can't argue with results. And as I promised at the start of this broadcast, there were many guffaws, chuckles, cackles, giggles, and even a satisfying snickers.
But, Vince, do you want to join me again, Friday?
What do you mean, tomorrow?
No, tomorrow's Thursday.
Is it? Okay. What time on Friday?
Anytime. I'm off of school.
Okay, well, cool. It might have to be a little bit earlier. I've actually got a party, bro. I'm inviting like a whole bunch of conspiracy theorists and filmmakers and radio show hosts and all that sort of stuff to my house, and we're all just going to get like wasted together and have some fun, you know, adult fun. I'm not sure if I can steal myself away from that to do an interview. However,
Vince, bring them all on. If they're all radio hosts, bring them on.
Okay.
I would have fun with that.
Okay, well, here's what we might do, is consider having the computer running in a room, and I was just thinking about this, bro. It's real hard for people who are conspiracy theorists to make friends, or even just to hang out with people who don't think you're freaking nuts. This is the reason I'm actually doing this party here at my house, and what I thought was, man, let me run this by you, I want your opinion on it. If I have a Skype video thing running and I've got the computer outside or whatever, so that you can actually see the people partying and they can come up and they can talk to you, it's going to be on speakerphone and everything like that, in New Zealand, other side of the world, having a party funds and conversations with conspiracy theorists and everything like that across Skype. Does that sound like fun?
I would be in for that.
Yeah, well, that's what we can do. Maybe you can live stream it on your YouTube channel or something.
I don't have any video, but...
Yeah, you won't need it.
Once I get to 100 subscribers, I can use video.
Mm. Okay. Well, if we get the 30 beforehand, that'd be nice. Another 30 subscribers. Come on, people, if you're listening live right now, please do so. Subscribe just underneath the video on the bottom left. Come on. Other than that, thanks very much for your time, Dylan. And I got to go. I got to eat something and drink some coffee or something. I've got like 6 minutes before my next interview as well.
Thanks for coming on. I really want to have you back.
All right.
You're a lot of fun.
Okay, man. No worries. I will see you again soon.
All right. Bye.
Bye.